Is it on?
It is on.
Oh. We're live.
We are live and direct. Yo, what's good? It's your boy, Zapri706, Breezus on Twitter. The Disturbed Nation Report, the unofficial official podcast of Knock on Twitter. We have our illustrious host, Jif Queen.
Oh.
And Josh. I have nothing for Josh today, but I'm sure he's riling up Falcon Twitter. Oh no, actually I do have something for Josh. Josh is saying that he's going to buy a Bills Jake Fromm jersey.
Fromm, yes sir.
What?
Wow.
Let's go.
Seriously.
Shoot, he needs to hope he makes the team first and foremost. But
he'll make the team. I mean, he already is a better passer than Allen, so he's going to make the team.
Okay. Sure. God bless him.
Actually, that's Allen's replacement, if we're being honest. Allen has what? This year, if that, to show them something? Other than that, it's Fromm time.
Oh, okay. Anywho, real quick, shout out to one of the guys that got drafted to the Jacksonville Jaguars, Shaq Quarterman, who's actually from Jacksonville, played at Oak Leaf High School, is the stepbrother of a guy I went to high school with, so that's pretty cool that he's from Jacksonville and gets to play for the Jaguars, so hopefully he makes the team. So anywho, moving right along, what's good, y'all? How you feel about the old draft we had?
It was long as fuck. I watched the whole thing. For us, we ain't do too well, as bad as I thought we would. Except for that end pick, it was like, seriously.
Wait,
the punter.
No, there's nothing wrong with that. Punters are important, you know. Position matters. So, I mean, they say he'd be booming that bitch. So, I mean,
yeah, exactly. So,
we got a punter.
Okay, obviously we don't. We got two. If you got two punters, that's a problem. So, yeah. But it's been pretty cool on Falcons Twitter to actually see people not raging out either side. Like, a lot of people are pretty happy with what the team has done to hopefully make the team better. And shout out to the Falcons for not trading up and mortgaging their future for one player. As our draft shows, we are clearly not one player away from being a contender. It would have been great to have a Chase Young or, for some people, Isaiah Simmons, but I really think that we are building our roster like it should be, piece by piece, and not just one player that we're rolling the dice on becomes the day one starter. So I think it's pretty cool. Some of the moves we're making, but I mean, overall, I think it was a pretty good draft. Very defense heavy.
Yeah.
So, and shout out to all the people that were like, oh, the Falcons are looking to draft a quarterback and we're going to trade up. And like, dog, y'all gotta realize every single year there's going to be smoke screens. There's going to be nonsense. Like, we have no clue what this team is going to do at any point in time. So your best bet with the draft is just sit back and enjoy the ride. Like, don't even try to speculate. Just, you know, wow. So I'm looking at YouTube right now, and I guess CBS Sports is saying that we made a desperation pick in AJ Terrell at 16.
Oh, yeah.
What?
You know, they got to get the clicks. You know, it's slow times right now. But, I mean, I don't see how it's desperation. We feel the need that we need it. And he has been pretty, you know, pretty even his whole career. Again, a lot of people are trying to get on him about his performance in the national championship game. But
yeah,
you can't ever judge a player or a person just in general off their best or their worst day. You have to look at everything in between. And from what I've seen on YouTube, he looks pretty solid. Even back to his days in high school as a local kid from Atlanta. Like, I saw him playing receiver a couple of times. I was like, holy shit. Like, he's doing some wild stuff. Like, he definitely brings a set of hands to the defensive backfield, which we have lacked for a very long time. So hopefully he can get his mitts on a couple of these balls and take them to the house. But, yeah, there's a lot of hot takes when we reached, but I mean, they said the same thing we drafted Keanu Neal too. So it's one of those things where you have to stick with your process and do what's right for your team and fill the needs for your team that you have, not worry about what the pundits and the outsiders and the quote unquote experts are saying. So,
yeah, most people didn't know anything about him. They just wanted who they wanted, which I'll get into that in a second.
Well, I don't even think it's they wanted who they wanted. It's they wanted who people told them they wanted. Because, yeah. I mean, I didn't know anything about him either, but it took me 10 seconds to YouTube the guy and be like, hey, this guy is actually kind of good. Like,
well, I think that the outrage, well, some of the, a percent of the outrage was from the college football fans. Like, we saw him get toasted against LSU, but to LSU credit, they killed everybody, including including the best defense in the conference in Georgia and the SEC title game. So, like I said, my thing was, I was pissed, but that's more so because of what San Francisco did. I wanted Kinlaw, and still Kinlaw like two picks were for us. So I was like, regardless of who we pick, I was gonna be pissed. But like I said, AJ he had a solid career overall at Clemson. He was the one who kicked off the party by having the pick six against Alabama in the Natty game when they beat them. So I mean, like I said, he's a solid pick. I don't get why it's a reach when it's been multiple credible sources saying that we need a cornerback and we got a cornerback. So, but like I said, he's a pretty good solid player, which I think most people will come around on once they see him play.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I didn't know much about him. I was just like, whatever, as long as we get, you know, someone that ends up being good, you know, a good pick and not another Vic Beasley. but PFF Draft said he, AJ Terrell, has yet to allow more than 60 yards in coverage in a single game. So despite y'all being mad and running with that one clip over and over again from him getting toasted, I think he's going to work out in the NFL. I mean, how many other cornerbacks have this? None.
Well, the other thing to that is, like, DBs get toasted. Like, it's part of the game. Even the best DBs in the league get toasted. Like, there was a long time where people were saying that Patrick Peterson was one of the premier defensive backs in the league. And Julio ate his lunch multiple times. Doesn't mean he's not a top guy. It's just you're playing against another top guy that, you know, happens to have a better quarterback throwing to him, happened to beat you on that day. So I can't take people that say things like that seriously. It just tells me that you, A, don't understand football or don't watch football, or you're just trying to get Josh's attention for retweets for, you know, hype beasts and all kinds of nonsense. So trying to rile up the base.
Yep. Let's see. And, oh yeah, and fuck y'all who now hate Kyle Shanahan. Like, fuck y'all, every single one of y'all. It took this for you to hate him. This, him moving up and stealing who you wanted, moving down, whatever. He traded with the Bucks to take who you wanted, and now y'all want to hate him. Fuck y'all. Y'all get on my fucking nerves.
That was a savvy move, though. Like, the cool thing about the draft, I guess, that, you know, y'all people that have all this time in your hands, you kind of got to look at what other teams in your conference and your division are doing to improve. Yeah. Like, again, the San Francisco 49ers D-line has luxury of defensive linemen. Like, that line is going to be – the line was already a problem. Now you plug in another guy that's going to be an instant impact, man. Like,
but that was the thing that caught me off guard, because it's like you said, you look at other teams, what they need, X, Y, and Z. But my thing is, like, looking at San Francisco, yes, like you said, they have a plethora of good plays on that D-line. Something, okay, they're set at D-line. More than likely, they're going for a wide receiver in the first round. And I'm thinking, okay, he trading up. Okay, he going to look get a wide receiver. No, he gets Kinlaw. And that just throws everything off. And it's like, why would you do that? And then he had to come back into the first round, trade back into the first round, just to take a wide receiver that he could have took before he took Kinlaw.
I mean, but bitch. No, because but the thing is like, with that system, it really doesn't matter who your wide receiver is, because they're going to be wide open anyways. Why not get another guy on the line to make people in our conference the probably the top tier teams with top tier talent who are dependent on passing, like Matt Ryan, or, you know, if Drew Brees has some left in the tank, if Tom Brady has some left in the tank, you know, the Aaron Rodgers of the world. You want to make those guys as uncomfortable as possible. You know what I'm saying? Like, the quicker you can get them off the field, the more time they have to utilize that offense that apparently few teams in the league have an answer for. So, I mean, it's strategic. Like, it's interesting. They zigged and everybody zagged. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. Because, again, that offense, as we've seen, is plug and play. I mean, as long as you're a competent NFL player that's kind of fast, like, you're going to be open. Just catch the ball. So, that's a savvy move. Savvy move.
I just hate that guy even more.
Yeah.
How you want to hate him?
I've been hating him for obvious reasons, but it just amplified it now even more.
Yeah, I mean,
he's gonna fade.
It's gonna be scary, man. I'll tell you that. That team is gonna be
Ain't nobody scared of him.
Okay.
It's a lot of teams. Honestly, I was probably even say Tampa Bay, Carolina. It's the first year with a new coach, so it's like 50-50. But that defense, they may be a nightmare on the defensive side. But Tampa Bay, they gonna have an offensive juggernaut.
Yeah, we sure about that. We really sure about that.
Brady's gonna deke and dunk, but they have so many weapons that it's not really gonna matter with the deke and dunk.
I don't know. I know a lot of people were like overhyped because they signed Gronkowski, but I mean,
no, it's not even that. They got the kid Johnson from Minnesota. That dude is a baller. They got him in the fifth round. Put him with Evans and Godwin, and then like I said with Gronk. And then they got the running back from Vanderbilt, Vaughn. He's a bruiser. Like, he may be small in stature, but that dude, he's gonna bring you better bring like five people to tackle him, because he's not going down easily. So I mean, Tampa Bay, we don't sleep on them. That's all I'm saying.
Speaking of Tampa Bay, what's up with your point guard? Dick Ryan, Tom Brady.
Oh man! So y'all got him out quickly.
He's still wet between the ears. So don't kill him too much. He's
nah,
still
man.
Because first he dick rides Tom Brady, then he comments on his ex.
So
her phone snaps.
Is that confirmed that is really his ex? Because there,
yes, it is.
Oh my god,
it is really his ex.
Yeah, he had a bad week on social media.
Yeah, and did you see last night? He was like, "I didn't know Jordan did this, nigga. Are you serious? You are a basketball player, and you don't know your history."
But at the same time, you got to put it in perspective. He's like 21.
Yeah, man.
He can still know some history.
Well, I mean, that sounds just like Steve. Steve on Twitter was like, "Oh, I didn't know Dennis Rodman used to dress like a woman." I'm like, "Bruh, like, right. How old are you, dog?"
It is like, a little touch.
Yeah, they're still kind of kids compared to us. Like we know that stuff, but they wasn't even really born. They wasn't even born at the time. So
learn your history.
I get it.
Some black movie said that. Learn your history.
I mean, but you can say that about like people that know anything about like Will Chamberlain and stuff like that. I mean, it happens. This is the circle of life. You know, I don't know everything about everything. You know, it happens. So, but yeah. And then like he had a tattoo recently, like on his leg. I'm like, what are you doing? Yeah. Like, he's really trying to catch the Rona out here. He does not care.
Oh, he just got one.
Yeah, he just got one.
Trash too.
It was like the staircase to heaven.
Yeah, he's wildless. Like he's got too much free time on his hand. He need to sit his ass down somewhere.
Right.
This shit don't make no sense.
I'm glad I'm a Spurs fan. Oh Lord.
I need the season to come back so my LA Lakers can claim this title. You know what I'm saying?
When did you become a Lakers fan?
Hey, I got the paperwork that proves my fandom. So don't ever test me. All right. Mamba mentality, RIP the GOAT. But yeah, but so interesting thing about this draft, and I was listening to Lockdown Falcons with the GOAT Aaron Freeman, who actually predicted the AJ Terrell pick, which was interesting. But I liked his analysis. First, he doesn't really necessarily think that we should grade drafts along with your favorite radio personalities in 9290 game, Dukes and Bell, which makes sense. Which makes sense because you're not going to ever know what you get until later on in the future. You know, maybe 3 or 4 or 5 years down the road. But the point that Aaron made that I liked was that by, you know, kind of fixing these needs and plugging these holes, you know, with a Hennessy potentially filling in for Alex Max whenever he decides to retire, you know, getting the foundation for actually having a defensive line, getting the line back out there. We have a young secondary. I think that fans probably shouldn't be excited for the 2020 version of the Falcons, but I think they should be looking more towards the 2021, 22, 23 Falcons, because at that point, we should be at the point where we can make luxury picks, if that makes sense. Because we'll have a foundation of a defensive line. We'll have a grown secondary that's going to grow up together. Hopefully, Julio should still have some of the tank, really should be hitting his prime. Matt Ryan will be on his decline, but I think he'll still be effective. Yeah. And at that point, it's like, hey, you want this this 6'3 wide receiver that can run a 4'2? Draft him. Hey, you want this pass rusher? Draft him. You want this top-tier running back? Draft him. Because we'll have the foundation of a roster that doesn't need a lot of things, that we can actually be like these teams. And hey, well, we could get a top-tier wide receiver, but let's fuck over a team in our conference and get the defensive tackle they wanted that's still going to make an impact on our team. So I'm excited for down the road. I don't really have any high expectations for the season we may or may not have, but I like that we're setting the foundation to do big things later on. The best I can hope for, honestly, is that we just stay healthy. That's really all I can ask for. Stay healthy and, you know, continue to build this team until we get to the point where we're actually a legitimate, honest to God contender.
Right.
I just want my ring.
Well, it takes time. But when you do things like us, like with this draft, and actually keep your picks, no mortgage your future, you can actually build a roster without having a bunch of holes in it, where then you become desperate. So.
Yeah, they knew their jobs were on the line, and they finally decided to draft smartly. I was trying to come up with a different word, but that's all that came out. Like, our new boy, I think this guy's my favorite of the picks, Marlon Davidson.
Oh, yeah. I watched some stuff on him, man. He had
that boy a monster.
That dude had a very sad story. Did they talk about that when he was drafted?
I don't know.
I know a lot of people were complaining about like ESPN highlighting like all the tragedies, which I think they've always done. I think just more eyes have been on it this year.
Yeah, so
that's what they do. But
why do they do that?
His story is pretty sad. Like his mom died when he was like 16 or something like that. I was like, yo, that's crazy. But I mean, he made it out the hood. He held it down. I'm interested in him as a prospect, being that he played defensive end at that height and that weight, at over 300 pounds. He's like 6'3".
Yeah.
Pretty athletic to be that big from what I saw. Looks like he, you know, has a tenacity for the game. You know, he looks like he wants to put in work. I don't know if y'all saw that clip going around that he was saying his favorite part about the game is where he could abuse a man and the police won't take you to jail. You know, just to paraphrase, I'm like, That's the kind of attitude you want, man. You want players that are dogs out here, man. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? He's going to be a problem for somebody. And I'm glad that we have an end, finally, that, you know, whenever he gets his legs under him, we'll be able to just overpower some offensive linemen, hopefully, you know, at some point.
Yeah.
No finesse, a straight bull rush, push him into the quarterback. So I'm excited for the prospect of that. You know, hopefully Fowler does his thing, and hopefully, you know, Tack is somewhere, you know, getting his mind right and putting in work, because we need everybody to perform how we expect them to perform for this season to be, for us to be happy at the end of the season. So that's why I'm just like, hey, I'm not looking forward to this season, but 2 to 3 seasons from now, Falcons are going to be a very interesting team to watch out for. Because, I mean, at that point, Tom Brady should be out the league. Drew Brees should be out the league. Shit, Aaron Rodgers might be out the league. They clearly drafted his replacement, which a lot of Packers fans are happy about, to include himself. But at that point, it should be Matt Ryan for the NFC. Yeah. So at that point, you should be building a team that can beat the fucking Chiefs. That's what you need to be drafting for. And we should have that luxury. Like, all right, cool. We can hold down our division. We can hold down our conference. We need to look how to stop this monster, Patrick Mahomes. You know what I'm saying?
The Mahomes. What do they call him? I forgot. Don't Patrick they have Mahomes a nickname boy. For him?
Patrick Mahomes boy.
No, I don't like that. Now, I got a question for everyone listening who's never, ever, ever purchased a Falcons jersey before. Ever. Now, we draft a player with the last name Hennessy, and all you people now want to buy a jersey. Someone explain. Your first jersey is going to be of a man whose last name is Hennessy. Why? Why do y'all want to act up like this? I don't understand. I don't. Hey,
you know why. Is this number really 69?
No.
It's like 58 it's 60, or something?
No, it's 61.
Oh, 60, okay.
Yeah.
They was trying to be nasty. Like.
Yeah, it's officially... Yeah. You got flowers on the back of your phone?
Look, my phone case is fly. Was this some fake Adidas fucking name brand shit? Adidas, wow. This shit is
Jeremy Scott. Look, oh, you got his Adidas?
Look, the cool thing, only reason I have it is because you can hold like cards in the back of it. So
you got flowers on it.
Look, this came in clutch in a lot of situations. Like, damn, I forgot my debit card. Oh, wait a second. I got a card right here.
Show the card on the camera.
Oh yeah, let me get my. I'll give you my social too. Get
a yeah, the front display. And the back, please.
Yeah, got you. That'll be on the next podcast. But I don't know. I'm not a real big jersey person. Like, I honestly haven't owned a non-bootleg Falcons jersey since I think like Warwick Dunn played for the team. To be honest, like I'll buy a shirt, but I mean I ain't. Yeah. I mean, unless we gonna bring jerseys back, then you know we can get it. Take it back to the 2000s. Just wear jerseys all the time for no reason. Like, we can do it. But nah, I mean,
I'm a jersey person. I just added two more to my collection.
I mean, if I ever make it to a Falcons game, once they start performing, you know, I might get fly with a jersey and some J's or something like that. But that's probably it. The all white's probably the one I'd cop and probably a throwback joint. But
yeah.
They don't have all white in who I want.
I mean, like I said, we have plenty of time.
I want Neil and I want Rico.
Oh yeah, you definitely have to wait for those.
Shut up.
Oh, so randomly I saw a tweet that said that we could possibly bring in a young Percival Harvin to the Falcons.
Yes.
I would like to see it. You know,
I mean, Popeyes is doing free delivery.
Okay.
My TV's on, and I just saw it. I'm getting a chicken sandwich.
Was he a fresh rounder too?
Oh, yeah. Shit, he might have played for. Did he play for Dan Quinn? Was Dan Quinn of Florida during the T-Bone run?
He might have been, honestly.
Possibly.
Was Dan Quinn in Florida during that?
He might have been, I think.
Because that means he would have been in with the Hernandez stuff. Ooh.
Probably not. But I think that'd be interesting prospect, at least at the very least. I think he'd be a punt returner, I guess. That'd be great.
I was thinking he could basically take Barnard's job and just do what he did.
I was about to say, we settled in on a punt returner. I forgot who they said it was, though.
Well, the thing though that concerns me, just like with Gronkowski, even though I think that his body is probably in better shape physically than Gronkowski, because he didn't take that much of a beating. I know he had the migraine issue, but I mean, now that they don't test for weed no more, right?
I don't know, I think they like stuff on that.
Yeah, they lightened up.
Yeah, they lightened up, and he clearly, there's a YouTube video where we talk about he smoked like after every single game. So now that's not
before,
before whatever, same difference. But now that's not an issue. I mean, why not? I mean, I saw some videos of him training, but my thing is at least kick the tires on him because that dude is blazing fast, and that dude pretty much won the national championship at Florida by himself. I think in the second one, like they were just feeding that guy. Yeah, yeah. He's also a goon. Like he's out here beating up people in locker rooms and stuff like that. So we need that. We need that type of animal, that type of dog on our team. So
right. Yeah. Yeah. But, yeah, I keep the tires on him just to see what else he has left in the tank.
I mean, you have nothing to lose. You know what I'm saying? Like if he's got juice, then that's a steal. If he doesn't, then you know, send him on his way. No harm, no foul. So that'd be great. That would be great. So, but just little additions like that, things that can make the team, you know what I'm saying, better. You know, like I'd love to have a returner after not having one for a long time that's been worth anything. So.
Yeah, that's annoying. After, what was his name? Hester? It's just been downhill. Just,
And that was just like, you know, that just ran. I don't even remember how that came to be. Like, that doesn't make any sense that we were ever get that guy on our team at that point. But I think that'd be interesting. So we also drafted what's his name? Mikael Walker from Fresno State. To play linebacker. It's not too much stuff seen on him, but a lot of people do like the pick. Fits a need. I don't know what his combine is looking like, but a lot of fans are happy about that. So we have Devo, Olakun, and now Walker shoring up our linebacker core if he can be that guy, if that makes sense. So yeah.
If he makes it.
I mean, he's a fourth round pick. He should make the team.
Yeah, yeah. And then he's at a position of need, so it's kind of like you're kind of almost going to make it.
Well, some people are floating around the idea to move him inside and then put Debo outside. What do you think about that?
That was kind of what I was thinking. Had we had the chance to like get the likes of Simmons, I'm thinking maybe we should probably move Deion to the outside because he still make plays, but he's not.
Yeah, I just think size wise, he's not really about that life on the inside.
Like your prototypical linebacker, middle linebacker. So I think he will.
You there? You're breaking up a little bit.
28.
All right. I mean, it'd be interesting. I mean, but we have plenty of time to see, you know, how this team is going to organize their defense with all these new toys pieces. It's just my concern is I hope these guys are able to, you know, I hope they're self-driven to the point where they can do individual training, which I know a lot of the guys do themselves, but they usually have access to the facilities and stuff like that. And right now they're kind of just like, yo, you know, go to the local YMCA or the local field and get in some work. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like they got to do what they got to do during this time. I know they're only supposed to send them like, what, $500 worth of equipment each? Some crazy.
It was like $1,500. Which is still like a treadmill. A good treadmill costs like $1,000. You know what I'm saying? Like the ones they have at the gym, like that's not a lot of money to get weights and shit like that.
That's a Bowflex. Sending them a Bowflex system.
Shit, at that point, if I were them, you're probably better off using that money just to hire a personal trainer. You know what I'm saying? Like,
oh, yeah.
And just, you know, maybe they have a setup somewhere or a small, you know, gym, a local gym that they have access to, and just have them run you through your workouts instead of wasting money on equipment that you may or may not get the most out of. Because I don't know if y'all have ever had a personal trainer before, but like you think you're in shape sometimes, but then when you have somebody like, yo, do this. All right, go. All right, go. All right, go. It's like, oh shit. Like, all right, man, chill. Like, I can't breathe. Like, so it's one of those things where I think when you have somebody kind of pushing you a little bit more, that you can probably get more out of it. So I feel like that's possibly the move.
Yep, and don't hire your friends like Jameis Winston doing that crazy stuff and putting it online and him working out and not even doing his form correctly. Like, bruh, don't hire your friends. Hire a professional, please, and thank you.
So speaking of Jameis Winston, it's interesting you bring that up. Are you eating chips? Somebody's like crunching in the background.
That's not me.
Okay, Jeff is clearly eating on the mic, which is okay. Well,
what is? Yeah, I hear it. I'll mute myself.
Look, I have a pristine mic, so I know it's not me. Anywho, so your boy Jameis Winston has officially signed to the New Orleans Saints, and I saw a lot of Falcons fans, you know, trying to get these tweets off and get these jokes off. You know, oh, he threw 30 picks. I'm like, all right, he's not the only player to ever throw a bunch of picks. There was an interesting graphic that said that he was in the same class as Andrew Luck and somebody else who had thrown a bunch of picks under Bruce Arians. So there could be something to that. And I've also said this before on the podcast or the committee podcast. Okay, 30 picks, right? Cool. You could probably say, let's say 20 of them are his fault, right? You could probably argue that 10 maybe weren't his fault, even 5. But then you also have to look at the situations of games. Like, do they have leads? Are they having to come back? Like, there's a lot of factors that play into that, but people want to get the jokes off. But my thing is, people are clowning him as if statistically, when Jameis Winston plays the Falcons, he doesn't put up Hall of Fame numbers on us. You know what I'm saying? Like, y'all better hope that Drew Brees doesn't get hurt and we don't have to see Winston, because Winston can throw the ball further than 8 yards down the field. You know what I'm saying? And I think it's a good look for him as well, because if he gets the endorsement from Drew Brees that he can be a leader and whatever, then he could probably have a career in the league, unlike most black quarterbacks who, whenever they lose the starting spots, end up disappearing out of the league. While you have people like Blaine Gabbert that get to collect the check and carry a clipboard for the next 15 years. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I'm rooting for all the black quarterbacks. You know, sue me. I don't care. I think that's a good move for them, because at the worst, the Saints get a stopgap quarterback. And best case scenario, they get a starter. You know what I'm saying? He's still young. He was a Heisman Trophy winner. You know, he does have a turnover issue, but maybe he needs to be in the system with good players, you know, good coaching to get the best out of him. So, again, I hope that we see Drew Brees and not Jameis Winston this year.
No, yeah, I made a joke. I was like, this is going to be good and bad. I said good because, I mean, it's Jameis Winston, so going to the Saints. But it's going to be bad because, like, because of the exact reasons that you said. If he gets the proper tutelage under Peyton and Brees, that may be another nightmare too. Because, like you said, he can push the ball down the field with ease. He can make some incredible throws.
Yo, people.
But the only thing is,
y'all remember that game we played against the Buccaneers where he like broke off all of our defense, spinning around and like ran for a touchdown, right? Like he's done those things to us. Like, y'all need to relax.
Yeah. That's the thing. If he goes there and, like you said, if he humble himself, it's like, okay, this is my chance to actually learn something from Hall of Famer coach and Hall of Famer QB. If he gets his mind right under them, he may come back and just start tearing up the league. So, I mean, we'll see.
And he got the LASIK surgery, so he can actually see now, too. So.
See, that too. The only thing is, like, who does the Saints have that could run and stretch the field in that wide receiver group? But outside of that, yeah, Jameis, he may get there and do some incredible things there. Only time will tell, though.
Yeah, I'm watching some Jameis Winston highlights right now. Like, again, I get the picks, but I mean, he's still a young quarterback, man. He can still do some things out here.
Yeah, even in that game we played in the end of the year where he had to pick six to end the game.
Yeah.
Before they went to halftime, y'all remember that touchdown he threw in the second quarter? Like, it was just some magical crap he just threw up in the air and just dropped in the bucket and touchdown on Tampa Bay. He does stuff like that, and it's like, if he played like that consistently, he'd be a top 10, easily a top 10 quarterback in this league. But like I said, we'll see if he goes there.
He's dropping some bombs. Yo, I'm watching these highlights. Like, he's dropping some dives, dog. So don't get caught up in the hype, man. Don't get caught up in the eat the W, which that shit was hilarious, but it was probably top 10 wildest NFL moments of all time. But like I said, you don't win the high. Well, let me stop. I was gonna say you don't win the Heisman, just be sorry, but I mean, it's still 50-50. It's still 50-50 right now. We'll see what happens.
But
yamming that thing. Blah.
But like you said, he has some talent. He does some dumb stuff that overshadows the talent that he has. But he does have some talent.
Bam. Yeah. Like I said, guys, you hear it first. If we had this, I guarantee you guys, you want to see Drew Brees and not Jameis Winston. I promise you that.
Yeah.
I promise you.
Do we want to see Noodle Arm?
I mean, shoot. They had fucking Teddy Bridgewater was like 5-0, and he hasn't been a starter in a while. You know what I'm saying? Jameis Winston's not rusty. You know what I'm saying? So let's chillax. Let's chillax. But what else we got? Got the draft covered.
Shout out to all the undrafted college free agents. You know?
Yes. Yeah. But those are really the camp bodies that if they have a camp.
If we have camp, shout out to y'all. I mean, y'all still made it. Oh, there's one guy from that was on Last Chance U. He made it.
Yeah,
that's exciting.
Yeah, that's good, man. Again, hopefully there is some training camps. I see that. I wonder if that falls into Governor Kemp's guidance. Like, I know he was opening up the state, so I wonder if they'll be able to do, the little guidance he's given, but I wonder if they'll be able to soon, do workouts with people. I mean, if you do, like, less than, 10 or 5 people, that's enough to get some work in with some DBs or some receivers, you know what I'm saying?
These people have been acting up down here.
Yeah, man. Not to jump off subject, but I saw one video. I guess someone had like a cookout on Gresham Road. It was it's probably like 80 cars out there. It's like, why are y'all doing this so soon? Like
y'all so dumb.
Like, what is wrong with being at home, safe from any type of craziness that can happen outside of the virus? It's like what is wrong with that?
Listen, and then did you see the guy who just recovered from the virus at Piedmont Park cooking out with like 50 people?
Yeah, I saw that too.
YOLO. He said, hey, man, they almost got me one time. You know what? I'm going to go out with a burger and a dog and a beer, you know what I'm saying, with the homies. Like,
but what's the crazy thing? Like they said, it's reports saying, just because you got it once doesn't mean you can't get it again. And if you do get it again, it may wipe you out the second time around.
Yeah.
So it's like, why are you even jeopardizing your livelihood because of that? Just like go and hang out and show your face with folks that you can see later on down the line.
Yep. And possibly spread it. Exactly. All the people. I'm just like, look, as soon as the DMV, DC, Maryland, and Virginia open up, I'm going up and I'm staying with my parents because Georgia about to be bad. It's about to be so bad. I don't got a job. I'm collecting unemployment. I might as well go hang out with them while y'all go through a second and third wave down here. Fuck this. I ain't flying. I'm driving.
Well, also, too, with the flu season coming, they say there's most likely going to be a second wave, man. So. Yeah.
That's it. I might as well ride it up there. I can telecommute. Hey, everybody's telecommuting. So
my thing is like with that, when you do that to second wave, are you gonna implement another stay at home type situation or what?
Well, I think what they're going to do is that now that they have,
like, I'm gonna have to do all this.
No, I think that now they have more of a plan to handle it, it'll be a lot smoother. Like, it's gonna be one of those things where, like, hey, you're gonna have to self-identify yourself, or if we think you're sick, we're sending you home. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's not gonna be no playing around. Like, now you gotta go home. So that, I think that's already in place. And they're also trying to work on doing, like, I think tracking, like data tracking. Like, so, like, for example, if I got the Rona and I was hanging out with y'all two and I get sick, then they're gonna call y'all two and be like, hey, y'all gotta stay home too, even if y'all don't show symptoms. So they're trying to do measures to mitigate it better, huh?
So I'm gonna come fight you first, then I'll stay home.
Yeah, so I mean, they got more resources and more of a, I guess, an infrastructure in place to handle it better. But again, that's on top of the flu. So there's already going to be people that are having issues with the flu. Now you have this. So even though the numbers might be lower, I think it's going to still be a little bit of chaos going on, if that makes sense. So,
yeah.
But I mean, we'll see what the numbers do with the people going out and about now. So, I mean,
it's going to go up like a motherfucking.
The craziest.
Possibly. You know, just make sure you inject yourself with Clorox bleach and Lysol and you'll be all right.
Just shine some light.
Yeah. Just shine some light up your body and you'll be straight. That's apparently what the 45 start telling people. And then you have to tell people, hey, we do not recommend this as medical professionals. So,
yeah.
It is what it is.
Oh, boy. USA Today gave us a C- in the draft.
Again, there's
those clicks, man. It's clickbait. It is all clickbaits.
Yeah,
like, you got that. We met the needs of the team. Almost every pick that we had was a need on this team. One pick that we left out is that Jalen, I think Hawkins kid. He kind of reminds me of KZ a little bit.
Oh yeah, from California, the safety.
Yeah, the safety.
I did watch his highlights. His highlights were pretty good.
Yeah, it's gonna be one of those time will tell things. But I don't know if I mentioned it on this podcast, but I think I heard it again on Lockdown Falcons. This is where I get 90% of my takes from. So, like, if you listen to Lockdown Falcons, then you probably know what I'm gonna say, but. Somebody made a good point that it's a good thing that we didn't fire our entire front office with all this coronavirus stuff going on, because, again, there's a lot of teams out here, like, you know, let's say the Panthers, for example. They have a new head coach, get a new quarterback in. So now you have to not only worry about your new personnel, or same with Tampa Bay, like your new personnel, you know, learning the playbook, getting everybody on the same page. But you don't have the time or the organized workouts to do that. Like, when you have a team like Atlanta, where you have a stable, also with the draft, you have a stable infrastructure of a coach and GM that know how to work together. You know, when now you really can't be together, that kind of streamlines the process. Like, Julio and Matt probably, actually, they don't practice for the most part. Julio usually sits out. So those guys don't need to really work on time because they have a little bit of rapport. Like, Tom Brady's only thrown to Gronk, who hasn't played in like almost 2 years.
Right.
So he's going to need to get the timing down and figure out, or they're going to have to get the timing down with him as far as how things are going to work. So that's obviously going to have effect on teams that are doing new things. And this should be an area where teams like the Falcons or other well-established teams should be able to flourish in these times and get out the gate, you know, with a head start, with a fast start, as opposed to these other teams that are, you know, kind of playing behind the eight ball.
Yeah, that's a great point.
So, but we shall see. I just need, again, my hopes for the season, if we have it, stay healthy, show improvement, and go into the draft next year with a healthy squad and be able to continue to build up the defense, which is, you know, our area of weakness. So. And hopefully Dirk Cotter is using all this extra time off to figure out some plays. Like, please, God, please do something. Like, cut on Madden, go on YouTube, do something. Like,
Google, shit.
Go talk to some local high school guys. Maybe they can, you know, take you back to your roots or something like that. Be like, hey, dog, you're fucking up. Like, my kids at my school can tell what plays you're about to run. Like, this is unacceptable. You know, maybe give them a reality check, humble them, do something. So, but it's pretty bad. Pretty bad. So,
very bad.
But I mean, overall, I'm happy, you know. It's just hopefully we can get back to work soon with the team. But unless y'all got anything else, I think we've covered everything. Y'all got any shout outs?
Thomas Dimitrov, you need to get rid of that ugly ass couch. I don't know what the fuck you were doing embarrassing us on national TV.
You got too much money to be living shit like that, dog. Like, some of these people set up for trash. Bro, I don't care. No,
we don't need to see that. The world didn't need to see that. What the fuck was that? I mean, why was it so tall? Like, I don't understand.
It's probably those sofas that you could fold onto a bed.
No, that was stuck still. That was the most hideous thing that I have seen. Like, what the fuck? That was so embarrassing. Why is the only person that looked like they had money fucking Jerry Jones?
Cliff Kingsbury as well.
Yeah, no, yeah, that's what I was about to say. His setup was, oh my god.
That the Arizona guy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that shit was beautiful. But you know, Arizona, you can afford a lot in Arizona for a little bit.
And McVay, he had that nice, I guess, backdrop of LA in his backyard, mm-hmm. And he's like on the cliff or something.
Oh, I miss that.
Must be nice.
Yeah. Right, head coaches.
I'm sitting here looking into. I got a pool view. It's a construction view because they're still building apartment buildings.
I'm sitting in a plastic fold up chair, so you know. Hashtag broke fi broke.
We're so you got poor. It.
Yeah, so if you want us to not be poor, go subscribe to our YouTube page, retweet the podcast, share with your friends, tell your friends, like, interact. I'm pretty much addicted to Twitter, so I usually respond to everything unless it's just stupid. So,
well, even though I might respond now on Twitter.
And Josh probably still has his tweets locked right now. So
he keeps locking and unlocking them.
I lock them. You just gotta catch them when they unlock. What the fuck?
You know, sometimes I'll be like, you know what, Josh, just lock your tweets, dog. Just lock them. How do you feel like responding to this nonsense today? Like, you used to be saying some wild stuff, dog. Just wild. Wild stuff. But, you know.
It gets the crowd going.
Yeah, you're right. Get some going right to my block button, because I'm like, I'm not dealing with y'all. Y'all need to relax. But anywho, shout out to Tribble. Shout out to Jalen. You know, shout out to everybody who rocks the podcast. This Third Burnish Report, unofficial podcast of Falcons Twitter. It's time for me to eat a late dinner, so catch y'all later.
Deuces.
Peace.